doing their school and college work remotely. My wife is here also working, and it's just me and Suki here joining you for this live broadcast. And thank you for tuning in with us. And we're going to have a good time in the Word this morning. God bless you for taking the pause in your day to draw near with faith and expectation and open this beautiful book. Don't you love this beautiful book? God's Word in our life is so important. And Suki's leaving, but you stay right there. You stay right there. So let's have a prayer. So Father, we do thank you for this moment, these moments of pause and focus to draw near. And we ask you to bless this time, this word to our hearts, personally and powerfully, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was actually talking to a brother in the church yesterday, and he was wanting to encourage me and just give some feedback. And he said, I want to tell you, it seems so often that when I hear a sermon, it is a word in season just for me. It's a word that's spoken into my life. And I think that happens, one, because if a person is living with an expectation and looking to God for a word, for an answer, God's going to be faithful. And secondly, is because God himself is so personal to speak into our lives like that. So we love it when that happens, and it's so encouraging. So this morning we're in Psalm 103, and we're going to look at the first five verses, which I'll just read to you. Psalm 103 verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." He starts off, the psalmist here being David, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And it's a curious question, isn't it? What does it mean that I can bless the Lord? We understand what it would mean for God to bless David, but how could David bless the Lord? And the next verse helps us answer that. He repeats verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And this shows us that a way that we can bless the Lord is by calling to remembrance all of the blessings that he has added to our life. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, or call to remembrance, all of the blessings that God has brought into my life, all of the graces, the people, the answered prayers, the times of encouragement, the physical things that have been added to my life also, all of those blessings. Oh, when we remember and recognize that they are from the hand of God, that blesses God. Luke 17:17, in the story of the 10 lepers who were healed, Jesus asked the question, when the one returned and the nine didn't return to give him thanks or recognition, he asked the question, "Where are the nine?" And what a sad thing it would be in a person's life, in a believer's life, if there are blessings in our life, even answered prayers in our life, acts of providence in our life, where we do not recognize and thank God for those things in our life. There's nothing more fitting in the heart and on the lips of a believer than thanksgiving, than thankfulness. Hebrews 13:17, I think it is, where it says, "The fruit of our lips, an offering of thanksgiving, with the fruit of our lips being praise unto our God." So we are sometimes prone to forget or to not take time to thank God. But this psalm says, "Oh, bless the Lord and forget not," or remember his many benefits or blessings. There's a lot in life that we could complain about. We have the Old Testament example of the Israelites wandering through the wilderness, and how often they were murmuring and complaining. And we understand that because we're human beings. We are frail and we have our tendencies also. We may have a certain natural disposition. And we understand what it means to recognize the problems and circle around the problems and rehearse our woes and complain about life. But Colossians 3:15 says, be thankful. I forget where it is now. I want to say it's 1 Thessalonians 5, maybe 22, somewhere around there. Be ye thankful, for this is the will of God for your life. God's will for a believer is that he would be a thankful person, that she would be someone who is giving thanksgiving to God, even when there are many things surrounding our life that we could complain about. We choose to forget not his benefits and count his many blessings. Let's look on in this verse 3, he says, all that is within me, bless the Lord, all that is within me. And David, wanting to, all that is within him, his heart, mind and soul, to have that focus and remembrance of God's many blessings. This is an amazing psalm. It's a psalm that has no requests in it. It's all just praise and recognition and looking to God. It begins with the words, bless the Lord, O my soul, and it ends with those same words. And that's the heart of this psalm and the heart of a spirit-filled believer, to want to bless the Lord, to bring glory to him, honor to him, praise to him. And then he lists some of those benefits. Verse 3. Who forgives all of your iniquities. This is the first one that David mentions. Oh, bless the Lord, all my soul, all that is within me, to forget not his benefits. And then he goes right to forgiveness. Who forgives all your iniquities. I remember last year there was a precious sister, an elderly lady in Peacehaven. And she said, oh, I believe and I'm not sure if God can forgive some of the things that I've done in my life from years ago. And I remember this verse came into our conversation and I said, what does it say? Who forgives all your iniquities, not some, but for all of your iniquities he forgives. And in 1 John 1:9, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse our hearts from unrighteousness. So that's wonderful, isn't it? And David himself, we know, was a man in great need of forgiveness in his life for sin and lust and adultery and murder. And yet he could say this, oh God, who forgives all iniquities. Maybe you think back to the time in your life where there's been the conviction of sin, the weight of sin, the burden of sin. When I was in Bible college many moons ago, I remember I was living in a dorm, and one of the American guys in the dorm told me a story one night that he became a believer in prison. And he was in prison because he was drunk driving and he hit a young couple, a head-on collision, and they both died. And he said there was this almost like a physical weight on his life for so long. And he was in prison, which was really his only consolation. And one time he went to a Bible study in the prison and he heard about forgiveness and mercy and the finished work of Christ. And he said this weight, he felt like a physical weight lift from him because he knew that God was forgiving all his iniquities. And then it says, who heals all your diseases. Now this raises an obvious question, because we could say, well, we know that God doesn't heal all my diseases, because sometimes I have a sickness and I might pray and God may not heal it. But David acknowledged that the Lord healed all his diseases. Doesn't mean that everything is healed, but it certainly means whatever healing does take place in my life, it's God that does that. That David gives God the credit for any healing in his life. And our stance on that as Christians, at least mine is that God can heal anything. But I don't understand all the ways of God. Sometimes he heals and sometimes he doesn't. And seeking healing is not a focus in our life, but seeking him is a focus in our life. But when there is a healing, it's from God's hand. And I believe that God can heal in different ways. He can use doctors and medicine and different therapy and counseling to do that. But when the healing comes as a believer, there is a recognition of God's work in it, that we don't want to miss giving him the honor and the recognition. And that's what David did. He credited God for the healing in his life. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction. Now, David, of course, had many stories about how God had redeemed his life, spared his life, saved his life physically with Goliath and Saul and Absalom and Achish and other times in his life where he was on the run from cave to cave and Saul was seeking his life. And David could say, oh, you have redeemed my life from destruction. Not once, not twice, but many times, David said, that God had done that. And in 2 Corinthians 1:10, Paul said, he has delivered us from a deadly peril. He will deliver us. And in him we have placed our hope that he will yet again deliver us. Paul, again, in the New Testament, could say the same, recognizing so many times that God had delivered him. But I think we could say that in our own lives also, perhaps there are many untold stories or unknown stories where God has delivered us from destruction. And perhaps we will not know until heaven, when times where we could have been at peril or our life be threatened or taken, and yet God redeemed our life from destruction. Last night I was taking pause at the table and thinking about this line. I remember as a teenager, I remember having a knife pulled on me more than once when I was a teenager. I remember being in a car accident. I got scars to show for that. And I remember the car was a complete write-off. And we looked at that car and we were amazed how easy it could have been for someone to have lost their life in that accident. I remember in Bible college, we used to do ministry down the inner city in Baltimore, one of the highest crime cities in America. We used to walk into the projects. I remember one time, we walked into a crowd of inner city youth, and one of them reached and showed the handle of a gun, told us to walk around the other way. I remember with our youth, we took our group of about 40 inner city teenagers to a sports place. And I remember one of the teenagers pulled out a gun right in the middle of the Bible study, and we had a security officer who had to pull a gun. The police were called, and you realize how easy it could be in a situation like that someone could lose their life. They're in the headlines all the time, and I'm sure you also could recognize times in your life where perhaps through an illness or a sickness or a heart attack even, that you have survived and God has redeemed your life, saved your life. We are all children of providence. God, our lives could have been destroyed, but oh, forget not his benefits. Forget not what God has done. Look at the next verse here. Who crowns you with loving kindness. And David here calls to remembrance God's loving kindness, his love for him. To consider God's love today. Right in this moment, that you are so loved by God. You could not be loved any more by God in this moment, for he loves you with an unconditional, full love, an unstoppable love. And he says that you are crowned. He crowns you with loving kindness. And look at this, and tender mercies. I love that phrase, tender mercies. Mercies that are so tender and so gentle. And when we sin and when we fail, there isn't the harsh hand of judgment, but there are the tender mercies that would rest upon us so gently to forgive us and move us on. Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things. And I think that we could recognize that God literally provides for us, right? The bread on our table, the food provided for our mouth, things for us to eat and enjoy. And I think that's enough for praise and thanksgiving right there, isn't it? I know that when you go to India and places like India, all the people are so thankful for the food that is on their table. And when they give, when they say grace and they pray in thankfulness, oh, it is from a deep heart. They believe when that bag of rice comes to the orphanage, for example, that we support, they look to the hand of God's grace, and oh, they forget not his benefits. I know that when we were in India and when we prayed, we said grace over our food, and Lord, please sanctify this food to our body. We really meant it. In some of the places we were eating, you were never sure. You didn't want to get sick. But that's why we pray, isn't it? Well, it's why we say grace at the meals. And it's fine if you don't. But as a Christian, if you give thanks at the table, what are we saying? Why do we do that? We are choosing to forget not his benefits, that he satisfies your mouth with good things. And it is the will of God in Christ that we are thankful people. And not only does he satisfy our mouth with good things in the physical sense, but couldn't we say that he satisfies our hunger and thirst in the deepest sense, in the spiritual sense, that there is physical food for the body, but spiritual food for the soul, that he is so faithful to satisfy us with good things in that sense. Jeremiah 15:5, he said, oh, I did, your words were found and I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Like the brother said, oh, it seems like there's a word spoken in season. Is that Proverbs 15:23 from memory, I think, where it says a word spoken in season. How good it is. How good it is when God speaks to our hearts. Ezekiel 3:2. I open my mouth and he caused me to eat the scroll. And I ate it, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. And then lastly, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How old are you today? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. That's confidential, private information. But how can he renew our strength? Can he renew our, give in the sense of Caleb, giving us a sense of youth? My mother is 96 years old, but how often she says, oh, I don't feel that. I feel so young in my heart. And I think God can renew our strength and renew our life. It's possible that God can quicken our body and our mind and our soul, and that we feel and sense renewed, a spiritual vitality that has an effect on our whole life. Do you ever feel like you are at the end and you are losing your strength? You ever feel like you come to the end of yourself? I remember times in my life where I was at the end, so broken, I felt I couldn't take another step. And I remember God meeting me in such a personal way, and there was renewal. And God can do that. God does that, like in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And of course, this opening list here in the first verses of David, it's not an exhaustive list. You and I, there are many things that we could consider to be blessings in our life that we would do well to hit the pause button and ponder and reflect and remember, forget not, but call to remembrance the many benefits, to count his blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. In fact, my wife and I, we do this so often in these last 3 years that we've been in Peacehaven. We so often take time to recognize God's blessings and benefits and answers in bringing us to Peacehaven. The people that he's added to your life, to my life, we recognize that those people, maybe just for a season in our life, are such a blessing that God has added. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, forget not his benefits, but count his blessings, recognize his hand, give him thanksgiving and honor. Oh, there's so much to complain about, and we're in difficult times, and we understand that. but don't forget to his many blessings and purpose to take time. Even get a blank piece of paper and draw out a timeline and mark off things in your life, times in your life, things that God has done to bring you to the place that you're in today. Remember them. Talk together with your wife or your friend or make notes or remember what God has done, because God is faithful and we don't want to forget his many blessings and his many benefits. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. God bless you.